Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hey, we're live, pal.
We are live. How about that? Hello there, everybody. Happy Friday. Happy UFC Vegas 39 Eve. And what an Eve it has been. So much has happened today already. And tomorrow it all goes down at the Apex. Early start time, a new prelim kickoff time at 2 p.m. Eastern. Main card at 4 p.m. Eastern. Nine fights capped off by a big one at 150 pounds as we are live on the UFC Vegas 39 preview show here on MMAfighting.com. I am Mike Heck. Jose Youngs is here. AK Lee is here. And what a day it has been already, gentlemen. First off, let's start with the main event. We got Mackenzie Dern taking on Marina Rodriguez. Jose, we got number 4 against number 5 in the only rankings that matter, the MMA Fighting Global rankings. And this fight is very interesting. There's a lot at stake here, as we discussed on BTL. We'll get AK's take on that in a moment. But to me, I feel like a fight like this in a division like this that never lets you down, two top five fighters, two fighters close to a title shot, I feel like this one should have a little bit more buzz behind it, Jose. We talk about under-the-radar fights all the time. This one might actually be the answer for the most under-the-radar fight of the entire weekend, even though it's a main event. Why do you think this one doesn't seem to have that sizzle, so to speak?
Well, it's because there's so much uncertainty over the winner's future. Like, we've seen a lot of this past summer where the main event is great, but where does the winner go from here? What are they fighting for? I mean, if Carla Esparza had rightfully got her title shot against Rose Namajunas in New York in a couple months, this fight would probably have a lot more pull and eyes on it because MMA is a logical sport and makes sense and wins and losses matter, and coming off of a loss means nothing to getting a title shot. The winner of this could move on to fight the winner of Rose versus Carla, but that's not happening. And then, like I said, I'm between the links. If you throw in the wild card, that is Ioannis Jędrzejczyk, who wants to fight the winner of Rose and Whaley, or maybe even the loser, that just means the winner of this fight maintains their place, which is obviously a good thing. They get their big win bonus and everything, but like, where did they go from here? Maybe they could fight Joanna, maybe they could fight the loser of Whaley Rose, but in a logical world where wins and losses matter, the winner of the main event should be fighting for the title. But this is MMA, and MMA is a very silly sport, and I say sport because I still consider it a sport. It's just, I don't know, the winner isn't getting a title shot anytime soon, and there's no... But again, like I said, I'm between the links. If anyone's going to get leapfrogged by anyone, it's going to be Carla Esparza, because for whatever reason, the UFC hates her.
I see your face already. And I'm going to get to you, to your response to what Jose just said in a matter of moments. But AK Dern, -190 favorite, according to our friends at DraftKings. Marina Rodriguez is a +160 dog. And this, at least to the casual eye, looks to be a classic striker versus grappler type of fight. But Dern's striking has improved under the tutelage of Jason Perillo. Rodriguez is a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. That aspect of her game seems to be improving, giving her a little bit of confidence. And Rodriguez strikes like someone who has been in Muay Thai rooms since she was like 5 years old, but not the case. She's only been training martial arts for around 9 years, only been a pro since 2015. She's still evolving in this sport as well. So when you look at those intangibles, just the matchup X's and O's, we'll talk about the stakes in a matter of moments, but just your thoughts on the matchup, taking out all the drama here, IK.
Yeah, I think it's a great main event. I agree. I wish it had a little more buzz around it. This is probably, you know, what we talk about when we say, like, it's not just that this main event needed to, you know, need more buzz about it, like, to be hyped up, like, with promo packages and everything. It's like, you need to do the groundwork earlier. You need to have these fighters put in, like, you know, more high-profile positions before. Now, I think Rodriguez, her last fight was the main event, like, sort of that last second, not last second, but the flyweight bout with Michelle Waterson, and they kind of had to throw it together. So that was okay, but even then, it was nice for her to get a main event, but it didn't feel like it's the main event they really, like, wanted. It's just kind of like, oh, well, they ended up with this main event, and Michelle Waterson's certainly a name, but I think they've done an okay job, again, with showcasing them, but I just feel like they could always do a little more, and that's why when we get a Dern Rodriguez matchup, which, again, I think, at least according to our rankings, even the UFC's rankings, I think is a big deal. But especially with Dern, who you know, has been sort of built this star buzz around herself for a long time. I mean, but before the UFC, people was, you know, were calling her one to watch. Marina Rodriguez, her hype was a little bit slower to build, but now she is where she is. So yeah, I do wish they were a little bit better at laying the groundwork, because now there's only so much promotion you can do, especially with a card every week. I mean, we're talking about this. This is week 3, I think, of 9 straight weeks, I believe now.
10.
So I think we're only in week 3. So there's a lot more to come. Week 3 or week 4. And we're still kind of in the wake of a big pay-per-view. And I don't know. I guess it's about as hyped as it could be right now. But I wish you could space things apart more. I wish you could, again, the UFC was a little better at laying the groundwork ahead of time. But, you know, you can't go back in time. What can you do? I'm excited for it. I think it's a really fun matchup. Mm-hmm. And will tell us a lot about whether either of these fighters, again, they're not next, but whether they will ever possibly be someone who gets a title shot.
Okay, so I'm glad both of you said in a way that they're not next or they could be a little far away, because this is a conversation on BTL, and anybody that I've asked about this, they've kind of turned. They've kind of, like, convinced themselves of the opposite answer that they originally had. And I know, AK, especially you, because we talked about this and on to the next one, this might make you a little bit sad to talk about, because rules rule, right? And meritocracy is awesome, but Mackenzie Dern could shake things up in a big way at 115. If she goes out there and beats Marina Rodriguez convincingly, she dominates her, submits her, hell, even if those two go out there and have a 25-minute war, there's definitely a chance, when it comes to the UFC, she jumps the queue and gets the winner of Nama Yunus, Zhang Weili, whatever happens next month at MSG. And unfortunately, Carla Esparza, rightfully so, would have an issue with that, as would a lot of other people, since she's clearly earned her shot to regain her title. So, AK, if Mackenzie Dern wins tomorrow, in your heart of hearts, should Carla Esparza be worried?
Yeah, especially depending on method victory. If Mackenzie Dern comes out and lands a 15-second flying triangle submission, on and then cuts a really good promo and just says flat out afterwards, you know, doesn't mince her words and says, I want that title shot. I'm next. I'm the future of this division. I'm the present. I'm the future. I don't care if it's some rehearsed promo that she has, like, canned. If she executes it well, for sure the UFC will have to consider it. I'm number one. I think Esparza should get that title shot. But if for some reason, again, it plays out exactly as I just said it might, with Dern just completely blowing the doors off performance-wise, promo-wise, then I'm not going to go like, oh, this is a travesty, you know, that she gets a title shot. I'll probably enjoy it. Like I said, I think she has the potential to be a future champion. I think it's too soon. I think it's definitely too soon. I think you're actually doing her a favor at this point, I would say, by not throwing her into a title shot with a Rose Namajunas or a Zhang Weili. But again, I would understand the UFC's reasons for doing it. That a Dern matchup with either of them is just... it's just going to be so much more intriguing than Esparza facing either of them. Because for whatever reason, well, I mean, Esparza never fought Zhang. And then with Namajunas, I guess people are just assuming it wouldn't go the same as the first fight, that Namajunas has come along so far, that she would be, you know, the clear-cut favorite, which I'm not so sure about. I think Esparza has also gotten better. So I would hope it doesn't happen. But I'm certainly not going to, you know, this isn't one of those situations where I'll call out the U.S. and be like, ah, you're just, you know, you're ruining the integrity of a mixed martial arts by giving Mackenzie Dern the title shot after a 15-second submission and a killer promo. I couldn't do that. I think that's not realistic. So Esparza should be the front of the line by default. If Dern wins a close decision or has to like come back, like comeback victory, I would hope you wait. I would hope you wait on it. But again, I could see why they wouldn't. And as for Jacek, man, she should have to fight again for getting a title shot. But again, much like we just said about Dern, even all this time off, her name's going to generate more buzz than Esparza. So I don't know. It's not fair, but I could see both things happening and us just kind of having to go along with it.
Yeah, Dern's just interesting because if she takes either Weili or Namajunas to the ground, she could win. Like at any point in that fight, if that fight goes to the ground, she probably wins. Like right there and then, she's that good on the ground, and that is, she's so good at her specialty. Like just that much better than everybody else. All of her constituents, it's amazing. And Jose, I like we talked about this on BTL, but we talked the impact of a Dern win. Obviously, she's the bigger star. She's got more of a following. What about a Rodriguez win? Could she jump the queue, or is Carla Esparza going to be watching this fight with her friends at some sort of barbecue, rocking a Marina Rodriguez fight kit, watching this one, just hoping Marina wins this one, and then she gets a clear path to the belt?
Well, I know you haven't asked for our predictions yet, but I'm actually going to pick Marina to win this fight, and I think the winner of this fight between Mackenzie and Marina should fight Joanna. I think that's the most logical step as the winner, and then the winner of Rose Whaley fights Carla, and you could even put, I'm not saying put them on the same card, because I think Joanna has deserved to fight main events from this point on, and if the winner of this fight should fight another main event, they shouldn't be relegated to a co-main or an ESPN card or ESPN prelim, whatever. But I'm actually picking Marina to win, because I selfishly have been asking for Joanna versus Marina for a very long time. Now, if Joanna doesn't want that fight, it wouldn't surprise me, because she's at a point in her career where she's either wants big name fights or title fights, and maybe she fights the loser of, especially if Whaley loses to Rose for a second time. Who doesn't want to see Joanna versus Whaley part two? I mean, the first fight is, many people consider, the greatest fight in the history of MMA, men or women's. It was certainly top five that I've ever attended, right before the pandemic hit. So Joanna has said forever that she wants to fight in front of fans. I think the only thing holding her back right now is if she wants that big arena feel, because I don't think she wants to fight in the Apex at all. The UFC is only doing pay-per-views in big arenas. And at this point, especially if Rose wins, Joanna's not going to headline a pay-per-view against Rose again. She's not going to fight Rose for a title again. Maybe she could fight Whaley, especially if Whaley wins. Maybe that's the case. Because of all this Mackenzie Dern skipping the queue, what if Whaley wins and then they want to do Joanna Whaley too, inside of an arena, or they want to do Joanna versus Rose 3 or whatever. I don't know. There's all sorts of scenarios, but I'm still picking Marina to win. And then because I selfishly want her to fight Joanna next. And then Rose Carla 2, which should have already been booked, happens as well.
Yeah. And I thought, in AK, I said this on to the next one, when Dern submitted Nina Nunes, she should have come. Mackenzie Dern should have called out Joanna right there and then, cut a promo on her, been like, Joanna, you took everything I work for. Let's go. Like, let's do this thing. But Mackenzie's not really that type. She's not the one that's just going to sit there and start blasting and spitting fire on the microphone. Although, if she wins this fight tomorrow, good chance she's going to call for a title shot. I think I jump Carla, or she just calls for a fight with Carla, because I know the UFC wanted to put that one together. Carla said no. I understand why, because she should be fighting for the belt. But Jose's going with Rodriguez, maybe for selfish reasons.
Well, I also think Marina's wins over Tisha, Hibas, and Watterson are much more impressive than... What's Mackenzie's biggest win? Jandaroba and Nina Nunes? Like, those are her two biggest wins to date, and those are very impressive. I just kind of put Marina's resume at a higher standard than Mackenzie's. Plus, she fought Cynthia Calvillo to a draw, which a lot of people don't remember. Cynthia missed weight for that fight, so kind of a little bit of a disadvantage for Marina. And then she fought, a lot of people thinking, I don't remember how I scored it, but a lot of people think she beat Carla in that split decision loss. So I just think Marina has a better resume and just has more tools to win a fight than Mackenzie has an ace up her sleeve. Like, if it goes to the ground, that's a wrap, but I think it's going to be a lot harder than people think getting Marina to the ground.
Yep. AK, your thoughts? Are you with Jose on this one, or are you picking Mackenzie Dern to come out on top?
I'm going with Dern. It's weird. I'm kind of worried though for her that it'll be like the even though I know she just beat Nina Nunez, I think I'm worried it'll be like the Tatiana Suarez Nina Nunez fight when Nina Nunez was still Nina Ansaroff, where we see her not able to implement sort of her game plan, you know, as dominantly as she has in the past. And this is a 5-round fight. This is the other thing to remember. So if Marina Rodriguez can avoid like just getting trucked in the first 2 rounds, I don't know if Dern is, you know, has that extra level in her gas tank to continue implementing her you know, her jiu-jitsu for the last 3 rounds. It's a very exhausting thing to do. She's shown a lot of improvements in her cardio. She just looks to be in better shape, I think, obviously, since coming back, and now she's a mom now and having a child. She looks like she's in great shape. She showed up at the weigh-ins. She gave people a little bit of a scare today because she was the last fighter to weigh in, but she came in 0.5 pound under championship weight. So clearly it was just someone takes a long time because they know they're going to make it, not because I think she was sweating down to the last pound. So that's good. That's a great sign for her. She's saying all the right things. She's doing all the right things. She's found stability in her training situation, which was also an issue with her early in her career. So I like all of that. So while I do think this is clearly the most difficult fight of her career, I think she does get the finish in the first 2 rounds. I would be way more impressed if she was able to win a 5-round decision. I know that sounds kind of boring, which no one has ever accused me of being boring, Mike. Of course not. but I would love to see her like have to gut out a win and win like, you know, a 3-2 fight, 3-2 fight. That to me would be so impressive because I know she can catch Marina Rodriguez. We all know that. She can catch her early, catch her with a sub, and she can do that to anyone. If she can gut out a 5-round win, I would love to see that. I mean, it might make her and her team think that they need to go back to the drawing board, but I think, as you know, from us on the outside looking in, it would show us a lot.
I will go Dern, but I think it's way closer than the odds makers have it. I think it's closer than a lot of people think. And I roll with Dern because if she gets this fight to the ground at any point, it's probably not going to end well for Marina Rodriguez or anybody else for that matter. I'm sure Marina and her team are well prepared for that. I'm sure her wrestling defense, her takedown defense is as good as it's ever going to be. But you're giving Mackenzie Dern 25 minutes to get this fight to the ground, and she only needs to get it down once. That is a lot of time, and I think she will eventually get it there, despite maybe even losing the first 2 rounds of this fight. But she will get it there. I think she gets a submission in the third. But it's not going to be an easy fight. This is not going to be a 2-minute affair where Dern just gets her right down and submits her. I mean, if it is, good for her, but I just don't see it happening that way. So I think she's going to struggle. I think she's going to face adversity, but I think eventually she will get it to the ground and win. So there you go. Should be a lot of fun. Very intriguing main event, potentially 25 minutes. So rest of the main card, we got Randy Brown taking on Jared Gooden. Gooden misses weight, a pretty big miss too. 20% of his purse goes to Randy Brown, which Randy Brown isn't all that impressed with because Jared Gooden's still a newcomer and it's not really a lot of money. Randy Brown tweeted as such, and I actually don't disagree with him at all. Tim Elliott, Matthias Nicolau will be a lot of fun. Maria Agapova, Sabina Mazo, and then Chris Gutierrez gets the bump to the main card to take on Felipe Colares. And the reason that fight got bumped up to the main card is we had chaos this morning at 185 pounds, because last night we find out Daron Nguyen will not be competing against Phil Haas. Nguyen has some health issues, had nothing to do with the weight cut. Let's put that out there, make that very clear. Let's just say he was ill. Okay. He was ill. He was out. Chris Curtis, a man who was on the Contender Series, got a tremendous finish, one of the great finishes in Contender Series history, and then became one of the great snubs in Contender Series history. Did not get a contract.
Unbelievable.
He's seen so many 170-pounders, so many fighters get opportunities before him. He's retired like 3 or 4 different times. It's just been such a crazy story. Chris Curtis finally gets the call. Short notice, up a weight class, already getting ready for a fight. He's in Las Vegas.
The action man is going to be in the octagon.
He's going to be in the octagon. I'm a fight Phil Haas. So wake up, see this news out there. I confirm that Chris Curtis is in fact getting ready to step on the scale. Then I get a text message. And by the way, the UFC at the weigh-ins announces this fight is a done deal.
Chris Curtis weighs in. He weighs in. Chris Curtis weighs in. He hits the scale. He makes weight.
Hits the arc. Mm-hmm. Then I get a text message that says, "Nah, it's not happening." I said, "What?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And I think I'm being messed with. I really do. And it turns out that last night, Phil Haas said, "No, I'm not doing it." He's in the sauna, cutting weight, has this fight with Deron Wynn that was supposed to happen for a while. He says, "I'm not fighting this dude on 24 hours notice. I'm not doing it. So find somebody else. It's not going to be me." It was the thought process. It took a while to get to that point, but eventually Phil was like, "No, I'm not doing it." And I don't blame him. So Chris Curtis makes the weight. The UFC announces the fight's going to happen, but behind the scenes, this fight isn't happening. So there we go. That fight's off. Chris Curtis, good news. He's in the UFC. He's a little pissed off because if you look at the Chris Curtis history and the story, this is so Chris Curtis-esque. It's unbelievable. And then we find out that the James Krause, who is in Las Vegas, cornering like he typically is, this time for Tim Elliott, says, "I'll fight him. I'll fight Chris Curtis. I'll fight the Action Man." Commission wouldn't clear him. So Chris Curtis still without a fight, still with UFC contract, but without a fight. So this has all happened this morning. This all happened this morning, early afternoon hours, before the 1 o'clock Eastern cutoff time of the weigh-ins. Wild scenes, my friends, wild scenes. AK, Chris Curtis finally gets the signing, gets the phone call he's waiting for a long time for, and then this happens. What is your reaction to all of this?
First of all, listen, I'm glad Jose's here because I think he's with me. I don't want to hear none of this. Oh, Chris Curtis is finally in the UFC business until he's actually in the octagon. It's Chris Curtis. We have no, he could be hit by a meteor 2 weeks from now, and I would not be surprised. I'd be like, "Yep, yeah, I know." Because and probably after getting a new UFC, like they'll probably give him like a new UFC fight in a week and say like, "Oh yeah, yeah, he's fighting by the end of October. It's finally time for the Action Man to get in the UFC." No. Chris Curtis, I want to believe it. I'm the optimist. Everyone knows this. I'm so excited to see him finally fight in the UFC, but I will not say he is a UFC fighter until he steps into the octagon. There's so much that can happen with him. Mike, you recapped most of it. I want to say I was there for his first retirement after the Contender Series, though he might have mentioned it before that. I'm not sure, but I remember I interviewed him after the Contender Series fight, and he's like, "I'm done." He's like, I'm not mad at the UFC, but I feel like I did enough. And if that's not enough, then I guess I'm done fighting. And like literally, I think maybe a week after I interviewed him, I think he had another fight booked for some other promotion. So I thought I had this great scoop and I'm like, "Oh no, it's just, oh, I get it." Oh, it's Chris Curtis. PFL retires and then fights again in the same night. Have you ever seen this? He retired and then they said, oh, Chris, actually one of our fighters fell out. Can you come back? Can you come back and fight?" He's like, "Yes, I will fight." It's just, I don't know. What a crazy morning. Yeah, it was such a, it felt weird. I remember when Chris went to weigh in and then I was like, "Okay, cool. Chris is there. He's officially his first official UFC weigh in. And then, Phil Haas hadn't weighed in yet. And I thought, God, wouldn't it be funny if something happened to Phil Haas? Nothing bad, but if for some reason Phil Haas couldn't make it. And then you sent me that message and I was like, "Oh, it's, why did I even think it? It's just, it's so real." So yes, now we're down to 9 fights. Good for Chris Gutierrez and Felipe Calares for getting that main card spot. But it really would have been cool to see Phil Haas or Deron Wynn or Chris Curtis fight on Saturday night. We're just not going to get to do that, unfortunately.
Well, now Chris Curtis gets a full camp, which is nice. I mean, he was already preparing to fight. He was preparing to fight for Fury FC because Dana White's doing the looking for a fight thing on that Fury FC card in Texas. So he was supposed to fight on that. So a lot of like Contender Series guys, a lot of guys who were like on the cusp of getting that call that are competing on that card. And Chris Curtis is one of those guys. He's in Vegas. It's good to be in Vegas right now. Call came and congratulations, Chris, you're in the UFC and hopefully we get to see that debut sooner rather than later. So those are like the really big storylines here. So shall we go to the peeps and see what they have to say? Check in with the great MMA fighting community.
Please, help us, peeps. What do you got?
Yes.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
This message comes from Apple Card. Earn up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase every day. Then grow it at 4.50% annual percentage yield when you open a savings account with Apple Card. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card subject to credit approval. Savings available to Apple Card owners subject to eligibility. Savings accounts provided by Goldman Sachs Bank USA. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Let's see. Randy Brown's only UFC losses are to Vicente Luque and Nico Price. Do you think it's time for him to face top 15 competition if he wins tomorrow night? I think he's pretty darn close. I don't know if we're talking top 15, but I feel like he's a guy that, at least since he's come into the UFC, we feel like he's got top 15 potential, right, AK? Like, what if he goes out there and beats Jared Gooden and does it impressively? Are we ready to throw him in there with some of these top 15 guys?
It's difficult to say because it's a deep division. Welterweight is one of the deeper divisions. But it's crazy. I'm just looking at his resume. He has not had a fight where, like, I would say he was heavily favored. So he beat Brian Camozzi, maybe his first UFC fight. Not his first UFC fight, but that's a fight I would say he was maybe heavily favored. After that, Bilal Muhammad, Mickey Gall, Nico Price, Brian Barberina, Warley Alves, Luque, and Cowboy Oliveira. That's a tough. Holy crap, that's a tough run of fights for a guy who, at that point, again, before the Muhammad fight, had 10 pro bouts. So I know everyone's been high on him for a while. I remember he was the second guy to be picked off of one of those looking for fight shows after Mickey Gall. So there's always been hype around, but man, he has really had to learn on the job. I don't want to say it's time. I mean, is he ready? I mean, yeah, he's been facing top 25, like top 30 guys ever since he came into the UFC, apparently. So I won't say it's time because I don't think he will. I think they will find I think even if he gets a win, I think they'll probably find another just outside the top 15 guy for him to face. But I mean, do I think he could beat guys in the 15 to 11 range? Yeah, sure. I think he'd give him a fight. Really, really talented guy. Very creative.
What are your thoughts, Jose?
I mean, Randy Brown is one of those names that has been on the cusp of being a top 15 fighter for what, since the last few years, and he just stumbles at the goal line. And by stumbles, I mean, Vicente Luque, he took that fight because they were booked to fight before, and then Vicente Luque, because he's the nicest human being of all time, said, well, I already promised Randy Brown once, so let's just run it back. And even Randy Brown, because remember that media day, he's like, I was very surprised that I got this fight again, because he had thought Vicente Luque had moved on to bigger and better things. So not only is Vicente Luque that loss one of his only losses, like Vicente Luque was easily like top seven and Randy Brown was unranked, so he was basically fighting way higher than he should have been. And I think even he admitted, like, probably I was not expecting this fight. I was also in the arena for that fight. That was one of the Apex fights. The sound of Vicente Luque's knee on Randy Brown's skull will be etched in my mind forever, because that was before fans were allowed to be in attendance, so it echoed, it reverberated through the Apex. And then the Nico Price KO was when Nico Price was just knocking fools out off his back left and right, so two very violent knockouts at the hands of Randy Brown. And then Randy Brown looked fantastic against Cowboy Oliveira, so I think this is going to be, I want to say this is going to be a telling fight, but John Gooden is, well, not John Gooden, Jared Gooden, John Gooden, of course, UFC commentator. Jared Gooden missing Jared weight is just a bummer all around. So I want to say this is a good litmus test, but obviously he's because, like, Gooden didn't even look like he was struggling to stand on the scale. Like, he knew he was going to miss weight. So if he goes out there and just pieces him up and dominates him, then yeah, give him maybe someone that's like 15-14 as a test, but don't throw him into the top seven again against Vicente Luque. That probably won't end well.
Yeah. I mean, he's right there. 170s. If he wins this fight, I mean, I got to look at the odds real quick. I'm sure I would have Brown as a 2.5, 3-to-1 favorite. -235. Yeah, I mean, that's about right.
Accurate.
He should win this fight. He should win this fight.
He should.
Jared's dangerous guy, very powerful. But Randy should win this fight.
Yeah. Very high risk, low reward for Randy Brown.
Yep. One thing to keep in mind is that Mackenzie Dern's takedown accuracy is about 10%. That is very true. That is very true. She's not one that's going to string together a bunch of takedowns, but she doesn't need to. She just needs one. That's what makes her so dangerous. She has 25 minutes to get one takedown. And if she gets it, she wins the fight. That's the thing.
I worry about the gas tank, though. I do worry about the gas tank. That's a lot. Takedowns, they take a lot. Those failed takedowns take a lot out of you.
Because as Mackenzie said in her interview with our own Damon Martin, that her fights normally end within the first two rounds. So, and we've seen Marina go five rounds, especially against Michelle Waterson. I know that was a flyweight fight, so she didn't have to cut down all the way to 115. But still, she's just the image of her going five rounds on a short notice fight. You have to assume her cardio is in a better place than Mackenzie Dern. But for all we know, Mackenzie Dern has fantastic cardio now. We just haven't seen it yet. So a lot of questions will be answered, which is why I've seen a few comments here saying like this would be a really good ESPN featured prelim for like a pay-per-view. I disagree. I want to see both women fight five rounds at 115 pounds to answer the questions moving forward. Yes, it would be a great ESPN prelim, but I need to see five rounds between these two women because I don't want to throw them into title fights without seeing them go five rounds in that weight class, if that makes sense.
I agree. And I feel like the Dern-John Daroba fight was a prime example. Mackenzie went guns blazing in that third round. She came out, really needed it, and she won. She gritted her way through it. Dern hype train ends tomorrow, like when Roxy beat him. We'll see.
I disagree with the Macy thing because both of these definitely women are like top five strawweights.
Yeah, even if Dern loses, she's plenty of time for her to climb back up. Like I said, this is a real test for her, and I don't think anyone should be surprised if Marina Rodriguez wins and vice versa. This is just a good fight. I hope this doesn't become, though I know how the fan base can be sometimes, that if Dern loses and say looks bad in the championship rounds, which she's never been in, that'd be like, oh, she's exposed. Like, no, people lose fights and then hopefully they come back better. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but I get it. You know, that's the price of popularity. I understand.
Winner has to fight Ioana. No way Ioana gets title shot with the win 2 years ago over Michelle Waterson.
I mean, shouldn't, but to say no way, You know how the UFC works. Come on, Cobra. Come on,
money. I mean, that's just the way that it is.
I agree.
The biggest draw is that's just getting it. I'm sorry.
Cobra, I mean,
this kind of goes along with the Mackenzie Dern 10% takedown accuracy.
Hibas couldn't get Rodriguez down. I can't imagine Dern well. That's why they fight.
I mean, and look, they're different fighters. Different fighters, different physical attributes. I think Dern has an athletic edge over a lot of strawweights. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see if that matters. Again, I'm more concerned about going the distance and all that.
You want to read this out loud, AKs, for our podcast listeners?
We're just nodding.
They're just like, yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Can't really hear ahead, nods,
Mike.
Guys.
Mike, go ahead. Go ahead, Mike. Mike, you get it. You take it.
People forget that the Hibas outgrappled Dern, is the comment from Cobra.
A lot of people are arguing whether, I can't remember if Marina won round five against Michelle Waterson. And I don't remember. Also, there's a big argument over whether Duran, and there's so many comments that I don't know which one to pick, but a lot of people are saying Duran Wynn should go to welterweight, even though he just pulled out of a fight. That was supposed to be a middleweight, correctly?
Yes. But they said it's not related to the weight cut or anything. So he's so short. I get it. People see him and like, he's such a small guy from middleweight. He's always going to look ridiculous in there at 185. But I don't know. Some guys just don't have the body type to healthily do it. So he'd have to do a huge change in his body type, diet, everything. Like he wouldn't look like Daron Wynn does now. Which again, I'm not saying it's not possible, but there's very realistic reasons why he's at 185 right now.
Don't talk about Daron Wynn in middleweight. The exit from the fight had nothing to do with the weight cut.
This is a question specifically for AK.
I see it. Is it the one I'm thinking? Yes. Stephen K., I saw your question. We abandoned the gymnastics score because it doesn't quite apply to UFC cards that well, but I think now is it warms my heart, Stephen K. He's asking, can we get a gymnastic score potential for this card? It's been a while that anyone would bring it up unprompted. It was great. Stephen K., your check's in the mail. For this card, boy, it's rough. It's rough. Though I have to set the gauge now, because if we're setting a gymnastic score for next week's card, that's a whole other thing. So I'll go... I really wanted that Phil Haas, Deron Winn, or Chris Curtis fight, I'll be honest with you. It would have helped a lot. This is like a 7.2. If everything goes perfectly, it's like a 7. And I might be being generous. I think other people out there might be viewing it even lower. Like, their standards might be so low. But I see a lot of potential with, again, the co-main could be entertaining. I love the Tim Elliott-Nicolau matchup. That's one I really wanted. Chris Gutierrez, Kolaris, bantamweights, can't go wrong. Alexander Romanov is really fun to watch.
Romanov fight, that fight rules.
Yeah. And Agapova, Mazo, I don't know. It's either going to be a contender for fight of the night, or it could be like super boring. I actually have no idea. Agapova is still such an unknown property, but I think it's cool they put on the main card. We always say, again, give some of the, you know, flyweights some more attention. Well, we got men's and women's on there, so I can't complain. I would like to see Romanov bumped up instead of Gutierrez and Kolaris, but whatever. It's 9 fights. It's not a lot to pick from. So I'll go 7.2. I don't think that's too high, right? That's fair.
Give it a 6.
Oh, God. You think if everything goes well, the most you'll enjoy this is a 6?
Yes, because it's not even the fight card that I'm most looking forward to on the night, so it automatically goes down 1 point for me. Oof. So, but we'll talk about that later. But
sure. Yeah, but even with the placement of in the day.
Yep. A lot of people were wondering. I didn't know which one to pick, but a lot of people are saying, like, oh, of course Dana White made this on the Fury Wilder night. But for everyone, like, this is an early morning card or earlier in the day card. So this fight will be over in time to watch this. So they're not even technically competing back and forth.
Way over.
If anything, he's hoping it's a lead-in. Maybe people will, like, settle down for
ESPN.
Fight night.
It's all on ESPN.
Yeah, exactly. And be like, well, I might as well tune in for the last three, last hour UFC while we're waiting for the Fury Wilder card. It's kind of a really smart thing to do.
Speaking of boxing, because, you know, we have to hit a certain threshold of mentioning this individual in every single show we do.
Luque beat Woodley and Randy Brown, so Jake Paul makes sense next for Randy Brown. There you go. There's your Jake Paul reference. People
thank you, Daniel Edwards.
Talk about Jake Paul.
Thanks, Daniel Edwards, for the question. Your check is in the mail. Thank you.
And then, Mike,
I stopped saying that out loud.
I can't find the question anymore, but someone had put a parlay with three names. So you're the betting guy of the three of us. If you had to put a parlay together on this card, what would you do? Which three names?
I would look for it,
but I can't find it. It was very earlier.
I mean, if we're doing parlays, I would play it pretty safe. So I would probably go... I don't know. There's no real, like, locks.
I think Romanov is the way to kick it off.
Yeah, Vander is tough, man. So Romanov... Randy Brown. And then it's like Steve Garcia. That would be my parlay. Steve Garcia. Yeah. I think Loopy Godin has wins. Damon Jackson, Charles Rosa is interesting. It's a little close to risk it. But yeah, if we're parlaying like a 3-fight parlay, I'd say I have the most confidence in those three fighters to win tomorrow. Just because Charlie Ontiveros, the way that guy, his whole like fighting career story, just like what happens in his fights is just bizarre. So something weird's going to happen in that fight. It's going to be some strange doctor stoppage TKO win for Steve Garcia. It's just wild Charlie Ontiveros has gone through.
Apologies if I can't find the question, but the guy had a really interesting parlay, and now I can't find it. But anyway.
What is their low-card banger of the night? Mine is...
Number 9, Tim Elliott versus number 9. Nicolau. I think that's the answer. We haven't even talked about it, and those two are ranked.
What are these numbers, Joseph Boza? I think you mean number tied for 9, Matias Nicolau, versus number 15, Tim Elliott, according to the MMAfighting.com global rankings, the only rankings that we acknowledge on this show. I don't even know what those numbers are next to Tim Elliott. What is that? That's bizarre. These numbers.
Yeah, that one, and I think Rosa Jackson is fun.
I mean,
this card's a
fight, but it'll be fun.
This card's a low key banger because, I mean, can you be the low key banger when you're the third last like fight from the from the top of the card? Like, that's not a low key.
That's a great fight though. Tim Elliott is just super fun.
I love that matchup. Really good.
Garcia's in a tough bout if he can't submit and control Altaveros. Garcia knocked dudes out too.
All right, here's the answer to Mike's.
Altaveros is so tall. He's tall.
Here's a response to Mike's parlay from the. I'm gonna say the man himself, even though we obviously know it's not. Yanni's teeth. Do you know who Yanni is, Mike? Teeth.
Oh yeah, the contender series guy.
Yeah.
Prop bet guy.
Oh, yeah.
You see him all the time.
Okay. Romanoff inside the distance.
Okay.
Yeah, Romanoff inside the distance, Gutierrez and Nicolau is +200-ish. Hey, listen, it's not a bad pick, but Tim Elliott's tough, man. That'd be a risky one. Watching that fight, I'd be like, I feel confident in the other two. The Nicolau fight, I mean, I guess you gotta face some adversity at some point, but Nicolau Elliott's gonna be close.
I think Nicolau is so. I hate to use this term because, I mean, it's always relative to who you're talking to. I think Nicolau is so underrated.
So do I.
I hated, I hate every time he who should not be named. Let's just say there's another producer on this who sometimes produces these programs. Always saying like, oh my gosh, how much he loves Manel Kopp and how much he thought Kopp beat like Nicolau. And I'm like, okay, enough. I get it. Nicolau is really good. I really think people are
That's the one thing that you say okay enough by? That's the one thing from the other producer?
One of many things. But the man is on. The man is not around. He cannot defend himself. Yep. I'm not going to go in deeper.
But I get where Nicolau was supposed to fight Shorty Torres in Brave, and that Brave failed flyweight tournament, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. That was supposed to be one of the matchups, I think, and then a lot of it fell apart. A lot of people got hurt. There was a draw, I think, and then obviously COVID happened, so scrapped a lot. And I think he was one of the flyweights they brought back, and unfortunately for Shorty Torres, he's still not in the UFC, but hopefully he gets back one day because I would love to see him fight against some of these high-level flyweights.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Talk to him in a bit.
Right, a couple more.
And then we have to talk about it because now questions are coming in.
Fury gonna win again. Mm-hmm. Wilder hasn't gotten over the last fight. I mean, here we are, the third meeting.
Third of future five fights. I'm calling it. These two individuals fight five times.
Yeah, they're gonna fight forever. I thought Fury won the first fight. Mm-hmm. I mean, battered Wilder.
I thought Fury won the fight if it was like, if you're going round by round, like one, like, you know, I thought he won 7-5, but because of the two knockdowns, I thought you make those 10-8. So I had it a draw scoring wise. I scored it a draw, but Fury won the fight for sure.
Pride rules, clear win for Wilder.
Oh yeah. I don't know. Have you watched that last round? Lately,
no, I don't remember.
I think outside of basically decapitating Fury, Wilder did nothing in that round. Like Fury came back and blitzed him. And if you watch that fight, the blueprint on how Fury beat Wilder was laid in that final round because Fury knew that he had lost that round, so he had to just come back and kind of like just put the pedal to the metal and just rush Wilder. And this is when Fury, like, this is all me speculating, but it seems like Fury realized that if you get within, like, 2 inches of Wilder, that's a wrap. He can't do anything unless he can extend. And then the whole second fight, that's all he did. The whole second fight, every round was just a replay of the final round in terms of Fury's game plan.
Yep.
So I think it's a note, like, I think it's obviously Fury's fight to lose. I think Tyson Fury is the best heavyweight on planet Earth. But that means, of course, Deontay Wilder is going to win, and then we're going to get the much demanded Deontay Wilder versus Alexandre Usyk, right? That's the fight everyone has been asking for.
Oh, yeah. That was on everybody's wish list heading into 2021. I don't know if Wilder wanted this as much as his people were telling him to sue.
It's silly that, of course, Deontay Wilder wanted this fight. It was also his right to get this fight. He had a contract. People complaining about it, like, this is not Deontay Wilder's quote-unquote fault. This is not Tyson Fury's fault, just how it played out. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's how boxing works.
Got another response to Mike's parlay, I think. A lot of people are putting their parlays in the comment section now.
Mike, translate this.
Anaveros, round one, KO, TKO, Elliott, Mateus, inside the distance, Romanov by sub, TKO, KO, 37 and a half times. So that's like, so we're looking for that big tuna.
Yeah.
We're looking for that big tuna, Gracie, first round KO parlay.
I was going to say. Just
ridiculous money.
I love parlays like that, though, because this person will know, I assume they are actually betting this parlay, like within the first 10 minutes of the show, whether this happens or not. It's the first fight in the card.
I feel like Romanov getting a finish is probably the most possible thing here. Sure. I mean, who knows? Yeah. I feel like Elliott Mateus is going the full 15. And then, I mean, Ontiveros could get a first round finish. Who knows?
And then, Mike, I don't know if you keep a inner rankings that you keep, like AK Lee does. AK has his own rankings that goes, how far down does your rankings go?
However many.
So then this one is for you.
Chris Gutierrez is such a bully at 135. Oh, do you think he could find his way into the top 25 after a
win? Let me at least drop my ranking. I also had a joke about the betting on like that first fight, the Ontiveros first round knockout thing is like when Adam Sandler bets on like the tip off in Uncut Gems. It's like you'll know within the first 5 minutes. Like and that's kind of what's cool about it is I think that's a fun way to bet too. It's like right away from the beginning of the night because. Man, if Ontiveros gets a first round knockout, if that guy actually bet that, I mean, the rest of his night's gonna be so much fun because it's like that's obviously the toughest part to hit, and then it's just like, man, you're just hoping for the best from there. But I don't know. I don't bet on MMA. I don't bet on sports in general. I certainly just do not bet on MMA. And betting on a Charlie Ontiveros first round knockout as the first part of a parlay that could pay 37.5 times what you bet.
Hey, why not?
Why not, right? Again, because you could bet like $10 and whatever. What was the question? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Here. I'm sorry.
Gutierrez be in the top 25 with a win?
I've been hemming and hawing as I load up my my secret rankings here.
It's called stretching. We're stretching for time.
We're stretching, yes. It's loading very slowly on my laptop.
So, Mike, would you put – I kind of thought Chris – in my inner – I thought Chris could be like – right outside the top 25 as it is. The problem is 135 is so deep.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably in the top 30, 35 range. Yeah. But, like, look, like guys who are between 20 and 30 would be, like, Nathaniel Wood, Jack Shore.
Those are all fun fights.
Adrian Yanez, Saeed Nurmagomedov. Like, guys like that. Montel Jackson, like... Could Gutierrez beat those guys? Maybe. I mean, that if his leg kick game is strong and starts chopping dudes down, it's possible. But top 25 at bantamweight is really tough to get to with some of these names up there. So I would say he's close, but I don't think a win over Kolaris puts him, at least like in my mind, top 25, but 28 maybe.
Yeah.
Like he's close. He's definitely close.
It's tough because Kolaris is behind him, I would think. I imagine most people's ranks Kolaris is behind him. So how much do you gain? A tough guy for sure. How much do you gain from beating him? So I've got Gutierrez with a 4-1-1 record in the UFC, 16-4-2 overall. 32 in my rankings. So so BG216, perfect question. I think you're right. I think he's right on the edge. I have him behind, just a few of these names, Brian Kelleher, Montel Jackson, Kyung-ho Kang, Saeed Nurmagomedov, and Alejandro.
135 just freaking rules, doesn't it?
It's so good.
Gutierrez behind Perez?
I have him behind Alejandro Perez, yes. 8-3-1 in the UFC. He just beat up a 43-year-old man.
Yeah, Mike, that has to count for something.
What was it, 1,200 days?
All right, well.
Do you think he's probably in the top 25? No, I don't think this fight does it.
Well, speaking of Chris G and parlays.
Big Rocker Johnson. I put Elliott versus Nicolau going to decision. Chris Gutierrez winning and Durham by submission in a parlay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty good looking parlay right there.
Those are all logical, yeah.
Yeah.
That can't pay out that much.
Now a lot of people are
seven and a half.
A lot of people are dropping their parlays in the comment section.
All right, I will say I dropped a poll in the comments about 20 minutes ago.
Uh huh.
Who will win the UFC Vegas 39 main event? And of our viewers, 58% Mackenzie Dern.
All right. So then here's another line question, but not a parlay question. So Mike, yes or no? AK, yes or no?
Under.
Over, under 3.5 rounds for the main event.
Under, because I'm picking Dern to win.
So there you go.
I'm going under, yeah.
There you go.
Thank you, Ben, with the Brooklyn Nets logo.
I don't think this gets to the fourth round.
Pray for Kyrie.
Well, we're getting a lot of questions unrelated to the fight card now. Right. A lot of Calvin Cater Giga Cuff questions, a lot of Helwani right. versus Brandon Schaub questions. So you know how
it goes. So I'll address the former. I saw the reports. About Calvin Cater versus Giga Chikadze. Just got announced. I feel like that's a rough comeback for Cater at the max. Okay, so here's what I know. From what I understand and what I've been told from conversations I've had since that report came out, some things were done that shouldn't have been done. And the fight got reported. And from not saying that this fight is being discussed, I will say that is being discussed. And there's like stages to these things. There's like, if it's verbally agreed to on both sides, like this is the offer. We want you to fight this guy. We want you to fight this guy. We're in. Verbal agreement. That's like in the works, targeted. That's like reportable kind of stuff, okay? Then there's pen to paper. It's set. We're not quite at the in the works stage yet. The fight is being discussed. There are other options in play too, although it's leaning towards the fight between Cater and Chikadze. But as of right now, from the conversation I had, to actually report this fight as being in the works or targeted at this moment in time, premature. So
tell him, Mike, I'll drop the mic for you. It's pretty expensive.
Yeah, that's just what I've been told. Not done, not even verbally agreed. We're not quite there yet. I would say it's at the preliminary discussion stage, but it is possible this fight happens. I'm not saying the fight's not going to happen. But for us to go out there and report this fight is done would be premature on our parts. So we will probably not be reporting it.
Thank you, Mike. And thank you, Jace Steiner, friend of On to the Next One, or On to the Next One podcast. Hey, Jace, get your picks in, buddy. Jace was one of the original listener pick submitters. And yes. I think he's been busy with real life or something like that. But come on, Jace, get those.
Right now, like now that there's reports out there and people are reacting to it, there's no way that this won't be the fight. I don't know if it's a rough comeback fight for Cater. I mean, I think it's a good fight for both guys where they're at in their careers. Give Giga another main event, throw Cater in there. I think it's a good fight. If Cater wants to be a title contender, he's got to beat Giga. And if Giga wants to be a title contender, he's got to beat Cater. So I think it's perfect matchmaking. It makes all the sense in the world. It's fine. I like it.
I'm also not in favor. Like, I know a lot of people on our preview post shows, former A-sides, various shows we've done, I'm not a proponent of having people fight way back just to get a win, because if you're ranked in the top 10, fight in the top 10. Don't fight someone way higher than you, but fight someone right there, you know? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Are you talking about for Cater?
In general, because I know after the Max Holloway loss, a lot of people are like, oh, he should get like an easy bounce back. I'm like, I'm not a proponent of that for anybody.
Oh.
Like, so a lot of people...
That's why you support this matchup.
I love this matchup. This checks, as Jose Young said, all the boxes for a high-level martial arts competition. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw the same thing with, like, Edmund Shabazzian lost a couple. Like, he should be fighting someone outside of the top 50. I was like, well, no, he got to the top 15 for a reason. He is a very talented fighter. I don't want to see him just decapitate someone and all of a sudden he stunts someone else's growth.
Yeah.
So I like this fight a lot. And if it happens, or... I wouldn't hate either of these guys fighting someone like Arnold Allen. I think Arnold Allen's done enough to get a high-level fight, as a few people are saying.
He needs a top-10 opponent. He needs to finally break in there. He needs it's the only thing that's stopping him.
Yeah, and from what I understand, the original plan was to do Cater Allen in November before, I think it was before the Holloway. Maybe it was December. It was either November or December. The talk was for Cater versus Allen to headline a card, but Allen is hurt. He's got a hand injury. He's not been cleared. So obviously direction is shifting in a different way. But that was the plan, was to get Arnold Allen in there originally, but didn't get cleared. And here we are. I love this Chikadze fight. I think it makes sense. And featherweight's tough, man. Like, what are you going to do?
Gotta find somebody.
Josh Emmett's going to be coming back next year. He's going to be looking for a big fight. I mean, there's lots of talents at 145. And Evloev is there. I mean, holy cow.
you can wait, but guys are coming up. Bryce Mitchell's going to come back. I mean, you're not going to hold on to your spot by not fighting, really.
Yeah, featherweight is very, very. It's not as stacked as 135 or 155, I think, but it still has a lot of fun fights. Like, there are a lot of fighters at featherweight that I don't think will be champion, but will never be in a boring fight. Like Andre Feely is in that category. Like he is.
Yep.
Can you remember a boring Andre Feely? Like he's had a lot of bad luck as of late. In his matches, but that fight, like, he's always in fun fights. Anyway,
look at these guys. Evloev, you got Taporia, who's on his way up.
145 is fantastic.
It's so good. Yeah, it's crazy good.
We love the matchup. Number 7, Calvin Kattar. Number 8, Giga Chikadze in the MMA fighting global rankings. So good job, matchmakers. You're welcome. You're welcome for just looking at our charts and saying this is how you're going to do it.
I mean, Giga, as soon as the line opens, if you like him, he won't close less than -350.
Thank you, Gianni Steve.
Prob Giga -280. Yep, everyone's
anyway, like a gambling expert.
Now we're getting into non UFC Vegas 39 questions. Right. So if you want to close it out, Mike.
Yeah, we could probably wrap. I'm getting ready to take a drive down south to Florida. That's where I'll be for the next few days, working and doing these shows with these fine folks, these gentlemen. Which reminds us,
pre-fight Q&A.
This new start time. Yes. 1:30 Eastern tomorrow. We will answer your questions, what we just did for the last 20 or so minutes here. That's what we're going to do for the entire 30 minutes, but hopefully UFC Vegas 39 related. Most of the time it goes off topic. We talk about all sorts of different craziness. Yep. We should. That's probably that's a huge fight. That's a huge fight. And it is. It is. The press conference was something else. It sure was. And this is like the Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier press conference conversation, because there was talks about who won that one. Conor was playing the greatest hits. Poirier came back with some short little jabs. And
apparently I was muted for that because my microphone came unplugged, so no one even heard what I said. So awesome.
I heard everything.
The peeps didn't.
The peeps didn't?
Yeah.
All right, we're getting out of here. Technical difficulties aside, we are done. For AK, for Jose, I am Mike Heck. Get ready. As John Anik says, one more sleep, everybody. UFC Vegas 39 goes down tomorrow. See you tomorrow, 1:30. Talk to you about it. AK, goodbye.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.